So hello, everybody, and welcome to our April 2021 case study call. This is our very first one in the month of, this is the first NEPT call for the month of April. We always have our case studies in the very first month of the year. The very first week of the month. So I looked in the case study collection and nobody submitted a new case study this month. So I am open to suggestions on how to best use this time to get you the most benefit. We could have, if you have specific labs or specific people you want to talk about, we can do that. I can pull up some labs. It may take a little gyrations to make sure people's names are protected, but I can pull up some things. I could talk about particular cases. I could answer questions, or we could have a free-for-all on however you want to do this. So I would love to hear, maybe post in the chat or open up your lines. It really appreciate when you guys are visible on these calls, because then we're together. We're able to really be together as a group and share with each other. So who is has an idea of what the best use of the time is? And if you have any particular labs that you would like to review on a particular person, let me know and we'll see what we can do.
Oh, so, hi, it's Maria. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm driving. I'm getting home soon, but I do have unnecessarily answering your question right now, but what is the best way that I can find out a few Dutch tests and some GI maps that I can kind of review and learn from? And I think in our training, towards the end, there is some training on some labs, and I think there is a Dutch, but can you give me some direction?
Best bet for any of that would be to go back to the recording library of all the case studies.
Is there a direction saying, can I search for Dutch or GI maps and something like that?
Unfortunately, not at this point. So, you know, it might take you like 20 minutes to just go through, click them open, scan through. But I would say that on the majority, not necessarily the case studies, but even the open coachings, but on the majority of the case studies, I believe there's been a Dutch, at least recently. I know there's been at least two or three in the last few months.
Yeah, sorry. I got home and the internet switch. So I lost you. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. I was going to say that almost every case study call, there's been a Dutch. So I would look back. I did a training a few months back. I don't know if I put it in the site, but it was a free training. And I had a bunch of Dutches in there, but I just did like really short kind of overviews of them, but they are all on the site. They're in that in the Dutch module. But I don't know if you're up to the Dutch module yet. But I would say go to the case studies, because all of the ones that are in the Dutch module were extracted from case study calls.
Okay. And the GI maps, I guess you don't do as
I don't do very many of those. I don't like that test, so I don't do it. And there have been a few that I've done on case study calls, but I don't really care for that test too much. So I don't, you know, I don't specifically order that test. I usually would do like a GIFX or a doctor's data. I would just say devote yourself a half an hour to just open up some of the case studies. You can glance through them. You can scroll and go, there's none in there. There's none in there. And you'll be able to find them that way.
The reason I did personally the GI maps is because Lisa recommended. So do you think that would be okay for me to reach out to her? Maybe she's got some recordings of, so I'm sure that she uses, because she's the one that she liked it and recommended.
Usually she recommends GIFX.
In a call, she recommended me that GI maps. You are not in. I think she was subbing for you, and I was just, she was going through several stool tests, and she recommended that. So that's why I ended up ordering that instead of the doctor's data.
When did she, she went through several, I'm trying to think of when that could have been.
This has been definitely last year when I ordered the test. I want to say
You can certainly reach out to her and find out what, you know, what she recommends. Usually okay. most of the things, like I know Doctors Data, I know GI, I know Dutch for sure. You can go to their site and they have a lot of cases.
Okay, yeah. I'll reach out to Lisa on that one and see what she says.
But the Dutch, we've got tons of them. So I would just go back through the cases. Okay?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, thanks.
Thanks. All right. So anybody else have any questions about particular cases, particular tests? We didn't have any submitted cases this month. I could certainly go back through previous month's case and we can redo them, and you probably won't even recognize them unless they're your own, because every time you see one, you're going to get more out of it, right? Makes sense? Okay.
I have a question if you have time.
Lee. What's that, Emanuela?
I have a question if you have time.
Okay, let's do, Lee lifted her hand first, Leah lifted her hand first, and then I'll go to you. Okay, sounds good. Leah.
Well, I'll just ask this generic question first. Is there because I've been trying to figure out how to put testing on, you know, like to upload it, but whatever I'm doing, of course, I'm not the most tech savvy person either. It doesn't seem very straightforward. Is there a place where you maybe have very like a little?
So let me show you. Okay.
Okay. So that would be great.
Email reminder for this should have had that in there. And then the weekly, weekly one usually has it. So let me go to my, is this it? Okay. So this is my case study. If we go to the site, inemember.com. And log in. I think it's this one.
Do you find that it makes a big difference if you're using a like a desktop or a laptop?
I've used it either on my desktop or my laptop. I've never used it on an iPad, but I think it works on an iPad or a phone. Okay. But if you go up here, you see where it says, file uploader is not the right one. Let me go here. That should not be as a separate thing. Where's the resources? See resources?
Yes.
See where it says case study submission?
Yes.
You click that. And you have to put in all the information about the person. If it's for a case study call, you put in all the information that we need. And then you go to next, next, next. And at the end, it says, please upload any documents that you have.
And that's where Karen and I got stuck.
All right. So let's just pretend we're putting stuff in here. Okay.
Okay.
We go here.
I did all this stuff and then I got to uploading documents and then it said it wouldn't accept it. Now this was a few months ago, more towards the beginning, but Karen also got stuck and I was kind of,
okay, let's see. I'll just fill these in. So you just have to fill in all these things. Mm-hmm. Whoops, must be a number. See. So I have a little tiny person. and you know, there's a lot of stuff we ask for here.
Right.
Because it's a full case. I'll just do ones in all of these. Okay, and then it gets to current habits. This isn't easy. Okay. If we go here, so you're going to be filling these in, obviously. If ever you have to, I'll show you how to do that. If ever you like have to upload more, I'll show you where you can do that. So now I have to go through all this.
I'm sorry.
No big deal. It's just, I wish there was an easier way, but there's not. So you go through the whole case, especially if you went through the whole case and you couldn't submit it, it must be frustrating. Okay, so where it says add file, you just drag, it says insert files. So I'm not sure what you're seeing. And then you just click upload.
It said something about a Google form. Like when I was doing it, I don't know, maybe it was random.
It was this form, the form I just did with all the pages and pages?
Yeah, because I filled all that stuff out. It was about one of my kids, actually.
Clicked here and said add file.
Add file. I wish I could say I remember. It was a couple months ago, and then I reached out to the help desk. My problem was is I didn't realize it was going to be a Zoom because I had never really Zoomed before with anyone before I did your course. So I thought they were just going to call me, like, you know, the advisors that for my kids or whatever. So I missed their calls. I kind of messed up there, but.
All right. Well, you can reach out again, but what you want to do here is when you get to here, if you see this add file, then click it. If you get us something that doesn't look like this, take a screenshot of it. Right. Okay. Do you know how to take a screenshot? Take a screenshot and then send that to help desk and say why. Now you're logged in when you're doing this, obviously. You must be because you wouldn't see it. Right. I don't know if it has to do with see where it says up here. I'm in a Google Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
Oops, admin doctor, not admin. Okay. You can choose that, but it should show you this. And then you just click, you know, you look at your drive. You can go to your Google Drive and find something, or you can upload something from your device and it'll show you all your files on your device.
Yeah, I don't have any Google files. It's just one big.
Yeah, so you have to click this where it says upload.
Okay.
Or click here. See where it says drag files here?
Mm-hmm.
You select files and then you find a file on your computer and then you put it in.
Okie doke.
And you think you can do up to 5.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll have to figure that out here before the next one.
The other thing I'm looking at here is it says there's file uploader. I think I should have them remove that because that can be confusing because sometimes people put it in here instead of the case study. But try this one anyway and see if it works. It doesn't have as much information. This is more for our file uploader when you're doing your certification to upload your certification, you know, case studies and all that. So that's what that should say. So I'll make sure that we get that fixed. But the same idea, when you get to the bottom of this one, it says add file. Oh, there's a lot of places you could add file because this is for your, this should actually be a different name for this. Some of you who've done all your certification stuff know. So you basically same thing, add file, and it gives you that same picture.
That's for when you're doing like your sugar, like your blood sugar.
Yeah, when you're ready to submit all your stuff for certification, you'd go through here and then you'd upload all your stuff, assignment, handouts, whatever else you're uploading, you would do it here.
Okay.
I'll have them fix this because this shouldn't say file uploader. This is actually a certification uploader and that's what it should say. So I'll make sure that that happens. Let me just take a picture for myself.
Do you have to fill out that questionnaire every time you want to add lab reports?
You're supposed to do it all in one shot to make it easier on my team.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So if they have to piece it together and it comes in all over the place, it's a lot of extra work for them. And if that starts to happen on a regular basis, we're going to just have a fee for that because I have to pay them, right? I have to pay them for their time. Okay. So Emanuela, let me stop my share if I can get back.
There I am.
There you are. Let's see. Stop share. Okay, cool. So what are your questions?
So this is about the lady that I mentioned on the on Facebook that lost 5 kilograms, so it's about, I don't know, 11 pounds maybe, mm-hmm. In 2 weeks, and also more than half of her body fat within a couple of weeks. And she had very high heart rate, very fast breathing rate. Some nights she didn't sleep at all. She was up until 6 o'clock in the morning until she drank some herbals, you know, some maybe lemon balm or something. She was feeling very fatigued. She lost lots of muscle mass as well.
So in 2 weeks, this happened?
This happened end of January.
Yeah.
And then she's only just recovering now. But in the meantime, she had some blood tests. So I wanted to talk about what those may mean. And whether you have some more insight than a doctor who didn't seem to have much of an insight.
That alarms me. When I hear something like that, that alarms me that there's some serious something going on
that needs to
be addressed. And that should, no doctor should ever overlook symptoms like that. That's malpractice, in my opinion, to overlook something like that. Nobody loses that much weight in 2 months. Did she have some sort of serious parasite? Did she have some sort of muscle wasting disease? Like that's a serious thing that needs to be looked at. So in terms of the labs, do you have a lab report? Because me going
in paper, because I didn't know there was a thing on today. So I will have to tell you.
So I'm just going to say, I am not such a genius that if you tell me a bunch of labs that I'm going to know what the ranges are or anything.
I will mention that to you, because obviously they may be different also, the units.
But tell me some of the stuff that you see.
For example, she tested some calprotectin and parasites. I mean, the only test here on the NHS is calprotectin, which was normal, well below the 80, so it was 30. So then that would mean, according to them, that there is no inflammation in the gastrointestinal tract.
It's not overt inflammation. There's not like Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis in general.
Because one of the symptoms was diarrhea and urgency to go to the bathroom and some cramping. The other thing they tested was ova and parasite, giardia, and they didn't find that either. I didn't think so either.
This was a test that they did through like a Quest Labs or the hospital lab or something versus
I mean, this is just a doctor's thing. They tested concentrate, microscopy, giardia, and cryptosporidia.
Okay, and those came out negative. Okay.
You don't have any input. The doctor decides what to test for. The other thing, obviously, because of the fast heart rate and the loss of weight, and also she had very high heart rate. So her heart rate at rest was 95. When she woke up in the morning, she measured immediately. She measured her heart rate and heart rate variability every day because of her job. She's a fitness instructor. So she found the heart rate was about 30 to 35 beats higher than normal for her. Mm-hmm. For example, walking, she was doing 135. Tai Chi, 135 beats per minute. And
did they test her thyroid?
Yes. Sorry. And heart variability was very low, 19, which is very, very bad. A thyroid, TSH, which we know is not a very good measure, but anyway, is below 0.05.
Okay, so there's a hyperthyroid situation going on. That's She's not on medications or anything?
That's right. By the time she got tested, it was already maybe 4 weeks in, because she didn't want to get tested. She was worried about it.
Yeah, but this is serious. So
yeah, exactly. She was worried. And also she was feeling pretty crap, to be honest. She couldn't really think straight.
How could you not? You're losing all your body weight. You're losing your fat mass, your diarrhea all the time. She's going to feel like
she felt like in 90, 100 years old. She felt weak and wobbly.
How old is she?
So the other thyroid markers, unbelievably, they tested her free T4 and free T3, which normally in the UK, they always told me when I asked for it, that they don't do it. But obviously they must have been a bit worried about her, because they did test it. And these are the values. They are within the parameters they say. So the normal for free T4 is 9 to 25, and she's 19, so a bit towards the high and normal. Mm-hmm. And free T3 is 6.3, and the maximum of the normal is 6.5. So
what's the range there? I'm trying to see.
The range is 3.5 to 6.5, and she's at 6.3.
Yeah, they need to test her. They need to test her antibodies, because you can get a hyperthyroid, a Graves' disease that's temporary. A viral infection can cause it. Exposures that can cause it, and it can come and it can go, but that's what needs to be tested. Like, who taught these people?
I asked her, can you ask your doctor to have your thyroid antibody tested? They did not test the antibodies, because 10 years ago, she was fine. She didn't have any thyroid.
She wasn't losing her body.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. I actually talked to a doctor as well. And I said, you know, I was trying to explain it would make sense to test. And she said, yes, it would make sense, but we have a limited budget, so we're not testing it. Because
limited budget, let the person bleed out and die.
Yeah,
and,
she was previously normal. And so I said, you know, like, I thought, you know, from what I know, I think the antibodies could, you know, the thyroid antibodies could appear from 1 year to the other, at least.
From 1 month to another. You put somebody in a stressful situation and their antibodies change. They, and then specifically, you want to do TSI there. I mean, I would do all of them, but because she could be in a thyroid storm kind of situation with Hashimoto's, where it's the high and then it goes low. And it could be early Hashimoto's where she's-
By the way, she had something similar 10 years ago. She had she went on holiday and she got exposed to some bacteria. We don't even know to what, maybe to some, lots of people were ill. We suspect, maybe even cholera. I don't know, something really bad in India.
Some kind of an infectious thing. Yeah.
She had lost again within 5 days a lot of weight, and she had had a high RA. So that's why she also suspected. That's why she didn't also go to the doctor thinking it's just temporary. Last time they asked me to wait, so she waited. But after that, several years she was hypo. Mm-hmm.
She was hypo.
She was hypothyroid for several years afterwards.
Yeah. So clearly if she was hypo and now she's hyper with a point, less than 0.5, there's an autoimmune process going on. It's the obvious, right? There's an autoimmune process. Something triggered it. Was she exposed to something in January when this started? Was there a specific stressful situation?
No, she may have been exposed to a supplement that had soy and soybean oil, maybe even, who knows, may have been GMO or something. The other thing I haven't mentioned that's very significant, her liver panel, ALT is elevated 85 when the range is 2 to 53. So it's about 50.
The real range is up to 25, right? Where we're ideally looking for.
Yeah, so this is three times that.
Yeah,
more than
that's very elevated.
Yeah, very elevated. And only ALT, not the other ones. Bilirubin is normal and AST is normal. They didn't
test. What about ALFAS?
They didn't test GTT or whatever. They just tested her again last week and we haven't had the results back.
Okay. Yeah, because let me just look at my notes.
They're testing a thyroid again, but not the antibodies. Seriously. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. So I would be looking at what was she exposed to. I would be looking at, is it better? Is it getting better right now?
Getting better. She's working on rebuilding the muscle. The other thing is that she was very low in serum creatinine, 46 when the normal range is 60 to 120.
That's muscles. Her muscles are.
Yeah, muscle. She had lost lots of muscle. She looked like she'd just been in a.
Anything else that they tested that was out of what an ideal range?
They're testing bones, the bone profile looks good. They tested full blood count, nothing to only lymphocyte was normal towards the high end.
What is normal towards high end? What does that mean?
The other ones that she always has this. You may have talked about this, but you talked about a normal blood test and whatever. She always tests high for B12 outside the reference range. And she 832 nanogram per liter when the normal range is 220 to 700.
Yeah, that normal range is stupid. So yeah, don't worry about that. I'm sorry, I'm very opinionated here, but because this stuff is what makes me really angry. So basically the B12, that's not high. This is just 1300, but oftentimes when the B12 serum is high, it's often because it's not, the tissue level is low. So what you want to really look at with B12 is look at the functional levels. So what's her MCV, mean corpuscular volume?
Low, it's low.
It's low? So that
it
was
looks like
iron loss.
Okay. I was wondering if she had some,
And the other one you want to look at is homocysteine.
Homocysteine was low. It was normal low.
What's that? What's the level? What's that?
Okay, let me see if I can.
Because I don't trust. You see, when you say just low or high, I don't trust the lab ranges, right?
Yeah, I just need to find it. So you said mean crepuscular volume. Mean cell volume was 83 when the range is 80 to 99. So it's towards the smallish.
Yeah. So I would look at also look at her iron levels, iron and ferritin.
Ferritin is well normal for them, and I can tell you what it is. It's 60 when the range is 10 to 420.
Okay. And then iron.
They also tested the iron, which normally they don't, but I asked her to test it just to see if there was inflammation. And it's 15 when the range is 14 to 28. So it doesn't seem elevated as in inflammation elevated.
No, but she's very low. So that would explain the MCV being low. The okay. ratio between, I think the ratio between iron and ferritin is a little off. I would expect with the 15 that the storage would be much lower, that the ferritin would be much lower. So there may
and why would that be then?
Oh, there's a number of reasons you'd have okay. to find out is the ferritin high, but the so what happens is the iron when it builds up in the blood, it gets stored as ferritin. But then when the iron starts to drop and it goes below what we think is optimal, the ferritin gets recruited and gets converted into iron serum iron. So you typically see the ferritin go low before the iron goes low. In an iron and a true iron deficiency anemia. And if I see that, then I'm not concerned. But if I don't, then I'm thinking that there may be some sort of inflammation that's brewing that's causing the ferritin to stay high. So, you know, the MCV and the iron levels match. The MCV is 83, the iron is 15, which is very well. I don't know your range. You said your range was 18. And hers was 15.
This that kind of range is not the her doctor thinks 60 is she thinks a ferritin of 60 is ideal because any less women complain of losing hair, but around 60.
I don't disagree that 60 for ferritin. I you know 45 is what I always look for. But again, I don't know the conversion factors for the standard international in the U.S. But with the iron, you said it was 15 or 50.
15.15 is towards the low end.
And what's the range?
14 to 28.
Okay, so yours is a different range than ours. Okay, so I'm thinking that it's super low because for us, we're looking at like 80, the ideal range being 80 to 120.
Okay.
Okay, so that's not bad. Okay, so I'm just trying to see if there's any internal bleeding going on here, you know? Right, because internal bleeding could cause that weakening and the whole metabolism to get messed up. I think it's thyroid, quite frankly. I think she probably has had an autoimmune thyroid condition for a long time, and she was in a thyroid storm.
She also did mention one day she was feeling a little bit before it really became apparent there was a problem. And that she was feeling a bit agitated. So she thought, oh, I want to calm down. And she tried to do, you know, gargling, that kind of stuff and singing. She did that. And next day, her throat was really, really sore. It was actually worse. And after that, I thought it must be the thyroid. And when she did that forward bend, you know, to stretch, she felt like something was pushing against her face. So
did they examine her thyroid to see if there was
any? And she couldn't take any supplements because she couldn't swallow.
Yeah, that to me sounds like a thyroid thing that she needs to have that. And she needs the antibodies. Is there a way to get those tested without having to go through the NHS?
Only privately, I imagine.
Well, I would suggest it for her.
There is no easy way that I know to ask your doctor, look, you know, test me, I'll pay for it. It's, you can't do it at that kind of at the practice, which is ridiculous. You have
Here's
to go.
What I would do, reach out on the Facebook group to Allison Grimson.
Yeah, I will ask her, yeah.
And ask her if she knows of a way that they could get that tested. She might even, if they're nearby, she might even be able to write an order for her to get it, you know, privately and pay for it, but still.
The other puzzling thing that she often gets in a blood test over the last few years, we've noted, normally she has low calcium serum levels, just a little bit below the normal, so like 0.2 something. But at the moment, I think because her thyroid has kicked up many gears, it's actually normal, low normal, but normal. However, inorganic phosphate is high, above the top of the range. So the range is 0.8 to 1.5, and inorganic phosphate is 1.7. Do you have any comment on that? consider the sheets, lots of vegetables and salad for lunch and steamed vegetables for dinner is normally her.
And she normally has that normal. So, I mean, anything that's something that's out of the normal when there's a situation like that needs to be investigated. Typically, you know, I ask people about soft drink consumption and meat consumption, and that's what would raise the phosphate. But it doesn't sound like that. And it sounds like the calcium phosphate ratio is the same as they were before this, because you said her calcium is higher than normal.
Yeah. So, the probably both are slightly higher at the moment. Yeah.
Both are slightly higher. So they're staying in the same, in a similar ratio.
But I looked in the summer at the trend. Our trend is going up with the inorganic phosphate. And it's this is the first time she's tested normal for calcium in a few years.
Normally so it's out of range. I'm going to pull up let's see if I can find, where was I? Here we go. I'm going to pull up the optimal. You should have access to this, hopefully. You all were supposed to get access to this. And I know the team was working on giving them all the names of everybody. So if not, we'll double check.
Oh, yeah, I didn't have access. I tried the other day. I didn't have
You know what? Europe. You're going to have to use the main account. You're not going to be able to get your own. They won't give you your own account. So I'll give you all the main account, nutritional endocrinology account. So let me go here. If I go to Optimal CX, I think it's this one, NEPT. I think it's just called Endo. All right, log in. That's it. Then I'll just put this in the chat. You can go in there. You're supposed to get your own account in there, but why is it not going in? Invalid username or password. Optimal DX. All right. Cancel. I usually use my own because I have my own account for my own private people. And then I have the bulk account, the group account for the program. Let's see, password. No, I don't think that's the one, but I'll try it. Copy. Go fill, but it doesn't have a username here. Let's see. All right.
Well, one thing I forgot to mention and may be relevant is this. She had run out of selenium supplements about 1 month before this happened because of supply issues. And she had been eating, you know, some Brazil nuts in the meantime. But I'm thinking maybe she wasn't getting enough selenium as well, because they might have, you know.
No, I wouldn't guess on that, because the reason I would say no is because, yeah, I don't know how to get into here. I'm going to have to make a note to my team and say, how do I get in here? In the meantime, I'll log into mine, but I'm not going to give you my account, obviously.
Obviously not.
But I'll log into.
You're not asking you to.
No. I wouldn't expect you would ask me to. Okay, so I'm going to log into my own account. I may have to stop sharing my screen for a second because I don't want you to see the names, people's names. Optimal TX. All right, so I'm going to stop my share for a minute. And then I'll bring up what I want to show you in the back end of this, where you can actually get, you know, look up various things. So if I go to resources and then I go to blood reference guide. Okay. All right. So let me show you this, because this is a great resource, it's an amazing resource. All right. So when you log in here, when I get those, addresses, you'll be able to look into resources and then click on blood reference guide. And then you can look up any of the values, right? And you can go to so it was phosphorus, right? But it was inorganic OS.
Inorganic
phosphorus. And then it has the calcium phosphorus. Oh, yeah, yeah. So we'll look at that too. So you look up phosphorus. And it talks about it, the background. I want to find out what would make it go high. Parathyroid hypofunction.
Yeah, that's been tested and it's normal.
Yeah, those tests are not always accurate. Bone growth, kids, you know, diet excessive phosphate. I asked you about that. Renal insufficiency. Were any of the...
there's no indication that there is a renal problem.
Other conditions, if high, edema, renal dysfunction, ovarian hyperfunction. She upped her vitamin D at all?
Well, the vitamin D is 131, which is above the range, but so this is the European range.
Is the top end of that range?
Yeah, let me see. I don't think they put the top range, but last time someone tested that high, the doctor said it was the ideal range and that she'd never seen anyone in the ideal range.
Okay. Bone neoplasm. So these are the kind of serious things that I'm, you know, concerned about, right? And you said they did a bone panel. They did alkaline phosphatase and some of the other bone markers. What other bone markers did they do?
Good point. I mean, they did the bone ones also in the summer, because there's always this problem with the vitamin D thing.
So you guys know, so you can talk intelligently to people and their providers. If somebody has an acute flare up of a situation, I don't care if they just had tests done a month before.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't in the acute stage a month before, right? So you really have to be cautious and be comprehensive when somebody's in such an acute state. I mean, it could be some liver stuff, but you said, well, her ALT you said was high, right? Or is it AST? Which one?
ALT.
The ALT. So we look up ALT. What happens when it's high? If it's above the AST and the GGT, we don't know what GGT was because she didn't get it. But if the ALT is above AST, consider that it's possibly inside the liver. ALT is increased greater than 26. Hers is much greater than that. Liver dysfunction due to fatty liver. So did she go on some kind of bad eating binge right before this happened?
She might have gone a little bit keto.
Be burgers and fries?
No, as in, you know, lots of coconut oil, that kind of stuff. Maybe it doesn't suit her. I don't know.
It might be, especially if she got diarrhea. Was she doing MCT oil? That would cause diarrhea.
No, just coconut oil.
How much does this person weigh?
56 kilograms.
Okay, so like 120 or something like that. Pounds. So she's, and that's normal for her.
Overweight. That's a, yeah.
Not overweight. All right. Yeah. So liver, you know, definitely want to look at liver, and the liver can cause the phosphorus to be high. You said they didn't do GGT. Did they do alkaline phosphatase?
I was getting to it. So the bone profile has, the alkaline phosphatase, which is 50, which is inside the reference range of 30 to 130.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the inorganic phosphate, which is a bit too high. And then there was a serum albumin, which is bang on in the middle of the range. Calcium level was at 2.33, adjusted 2.24, which is within the range. But from what I was reading, when the thyroid is hyperfunctioning, that would increase the calcium levels in the blood.
Yeah.
So that would explain. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think based on this, and so for you guys that don't have access to this, we'll make sure that that happens. In fact, I'm going to go into my team.
I had asked whether this could have anything to do with the COVID, for example, and they said they're not testing it. They don't care. They don't test any, but they wanted to have an ECG because they think it could have affected the heart.
Absolutely. Given that.
But they won't test the thyroid, the antibodies. I find it really ridiculous. They don't want to test the thyroid antibodies.
They don't want to spend $50 to test the antibodies, but they'll spend a couple hundred to do an ECG. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, this is why we're here, guys. This medical system is completely broken. And it's sad that people who have been trained, who are supposed to be helping people and saving lives, won't do simple things like this to rule things out. You mentioned lemon balm. Lemon balm is actually, if she is in a thyroid storm, a lemon balm is actually a good thing to take because it will downgrade the functioning of the thyroid. If she's not, though, you have to be careful. Make sure she's not taking ashwagandha right now, because ashwagandha will increase thyroid hormone levels.
The other thing that I had suggested to her was, what's it called? There's another herb that was supposed to reduce the stimulation to the thyroid. Is it mullein or the other one that goes with it normally?
Okay, give me
I don't know. She bought a bag of it and she made a tea every day, once a day. I don't know if they match. Oh yeah, I should have it here. It's one of the formula from Dr. Christopher. I think it's mullein, organic mullein leaf.
Yeah, that wouldn't affect usually.
But at the time, she just seems so overstimulated. And the lemon balm is supposed to reduce a little bit of conversion from T4 to T3. So
right. And her T3 is high. I mean, they may not think it is, but if it's
above, it was much higher before, probably.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah. So I would make sure she gets her antibodies. If they'll only do one, do the TSI. If they'll only do two, do TSI and antithyroglobulin. And ideally they do all three and include the thyroid peroxidase as well. Thyroid peroxidase is much, much more associated with, or less associated with, a Graves situation, whereas the other two are more associated with a Graves situation.
Yeah, TPO is more for the...
Yeah, and find out who, if they won't do it, if they, and have her ask, look, I'll pay for it out of pocket. I want these tests done. And if they still won't, then check with Allison and see if she knows of a place that you can go and
order. We have a private hospital here. And because she's a fitness instructor, I think she can get even a discount to go there and have some tests done.
Yeah.
So it's here in a town, so.
Yeah, I think she needs to figure that out. But if it is a temporary hypothyroid, usually if it's oftentimes, it depends on what it is. If it's part of a Hashimoto situation and she's in the thyroid storm, she's going to go back into hypo, right? And then so you really need to be addressing, right? What do you need to be addressing if it's autoimmune?
Yeah. Leaky gut. Is there anything that you can think about to avoid really bottoming out in very bad hypothyroid situation? Because last time she really had to drag herself out of bed in the morning. TSH had got up to 5.6. And no one would care because the doctor was saying, oh, we don't do anything until it gets to at least 11.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that can be done, right? And we teach all of that. You have access to the Empowered Self-Care. Go into my thyroid module there and really study that and work with her on that. If it's an autoimmune, you have to address the autoimmunity.
You can't
just
address
the thyroid, right? So you have to heal the leaky gut. You have to check for heavy metals and other stressors on the body. Look at her emotional stressors. Is she over-exercising as a fitness instructor? Sometimes people do that, right? Does she have
not at the moment because
well, you know, not at like, the moment, but leading into this, you always want to look at what was the 2 months leading into this. Did she go away for Christmas? Was she exposed to folks who she might have, caught a virus from, a viral infection from? That kind
no,
of-
the only thing that really changed in January, there was, it was a tax return sort of month. She had finished earlier than usual, but there was less exercise, less going outdoors because it was really, really cold. So normally she cycles outside, but it was so cold, so she didn't cycle. And after this happened, she started walking outside more. And I think that helped. I think perhaps it was that there was less exercise than usual and more too much indoor stuff, if anything.
The other thing I would do is more of a functional stool test. So whatever you can get over there, Genova GIFX or Doctor's Data. And I would include the parasitology, even though they did the parasites. Parasites sometimes hide, right? You don't always see them in every stool sample. And if they just did a single stool sample, which is what the hospitals will typically do. Oh, you're fine. Mm-hmm. They usually three is what you really want to be doing to see if you can capture, you know, different days. Some people even take the three sample vials and they actually have people do two, day one, day two, and they mix them together and they put it in one. So they actually get 6 days to make sure that they get it. And that's another possibility.
Well, that makes also sense because the parasites have got a cycle, developmental cycle, and sometimes they move even from maybe the liver to another area. So if you test at the wrong time, you're never going to find them.
You're not going to find them.
The digestive symptoms she had with lots of rumbling of the digestive system, lots of like swollen abdominal area. Mm-hmm. You know, like that seemed to come and go as well. So it seems to have a...
No, I think with this person, you know, definitely get the thyroid testing done, but you need to do a full look at the digestive tract and do the digestive balancing, do some testing, see what's going on in there and take her through a leaky gut protocol. And then I would even do a mild, a gentle anti-parasitic, anti-candida, antimicrobial kind of thing, mild, that could hit like almost like, I don't like it, but it's like broad spectrum antibiotics, because if you suspect that there's something there, then you can do that over time and then make sure that the probiotics, that she's getting plenty of good organisms, is she eating fermented foods? And you're going to have to, I would keep off of the oils. Like I think eating a lot of coconut oil could trigger it because it is a liver stress.
I think she normally didn't, you know, like she didn't never did too well with the high fat for one reason or another. But the other thing is that she seems to have some SIBO tendencies. So sometimes just eating even coconut yogurt, she feels discomfort afterwards. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, a few, three tablespoons of coconut yogurt.
And she feels discomfort. Yeah. So it's a full workup. You know, I know this is an acute situation, but what it's doing is probably uncovering some chronic metabolic imbalances that you need to work on with her.
It does seem there is something in the background that's weakening her. And then, you know, that's why this is.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. That was interesting. What does anybody have to say about that? Did you learn anything from that? Anybody? Other than that we know.
Yeah, then you cannot trust them doctors. That's what I learned. That you cannot trust the damn doctors. That's what I learned.
But you knew that already.
I know. Well, but the cases like this are really kind of shocking, right?
I know, it's always shocking when it's that extreme, because I talk about this a lot to people, and you know, good colleagues and friends, and they'll go, oh no, it's not that bad. I'm like, yeah, you come in my situation and you hear these stories, like this is bad, and they need to be re-educated, and the whole system needs an overhaul. You don't take something like that lightly,
you know. And you see a lot more people than I do, but there are, you know, people who come over here to do their blood work, or I've done their blood work, and I ask for tests, and the doctors choose not to it, or the person has symptoms and are really prone through their histories to have certain things, and the doctors are not running the test. To me, there should be a way that we say, you are fucking fired. And, you know, there's gotta be a way that we have more power over the doctors to say, these are the complaints. I mean, you know, instead of going through the suing, I know there should be an organization overseeing this, but, you know, I know I'm venting here, but it doesn't bring any solution to the table, but, you know.
But here's the thing, Maria, we need to educate the people we see, the people we come in contact to fire their doctors when that happens.
Oh yeah, I do.
I took people through a thyroid program. Half of them ended up firing their doctors. They said, I don't want to work with that doctor anymore. Sorry. That's it. They work for you. That's what we have to teach our patients, clients. Yeah. They work for us. We don't work for them. And you just say, look, if you're not going to give me, I go elsewhere. It's very challenging in the UK and in Canada, where there's the national health system, because, you know, you have to completely pay out of pocket. But I think that for healthcare, we need to, we pay out of pocket for our animals. We pay out of pocket for our cars, right? And we expect that we should be getting healthcare for free. And yeah, the quality of the healthcare you get for free is pretty bad, right? And if you want good health care, so we have to train them. If you want good care, you are going to have to pay. And I'm here to support you and I'll help you get the right test, but you can't just let them run away with it. And the more people complain about it, the more people demand this, the better. So that's why we educate. That's why I educate people. Here's what you need to be running for labs. And they go to their doctor and the doctor says no. And they say, I want this. And some of them get it. Some of them fire the doctors and some of them cower. And then they walk away and they just pay for it out of pocket. But it is, it's something that we're here to do. You were all called to this. This is your calling, right? Is to help change this system. And we just have to be very clear and strong on it, I believe.
No, I agree. I agree. And I had one client that she, you know, the doctor refused to run some stuff that I highly recommended her to do. And she had PCOS and all that. And he didn't do some basic shit. And I told her, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't tolerate the response. And I would fire the doctor. I recommend you look for somebody else who actually wants to work with you and be part of this health village.
Right.
You know, that's it. Fire the guy, and she didn't, you know, that's her choice. That's it. I did my part.
Well, we have to educate. That's all you can do, right? You can do it. Karima has something. So I'm going to open her hand. And then I think I saw Leah raise her hand too. So Karima, unmute yourself.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. I received the OAT test for Nadia, but I'm having difficulty reading it. But I think the way I see it, I think there is more of mold. And I want to get her started on NAC ALA, but I'm scared because of her sensitivity issues.
Sulfur.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the best way to do this, I mean, I did this differently today. Nobody submitted anything.
Yeah. And that's why I sent you on the, on your email thing, but it came back because it says it went into spam.
Huh? Yeah. But here's the thing. Okay. I'm going to teach you guys how. There's every email that you get before a case study call says, submit your cases here.
I didn't receive any.
Dr. Rita Marie, I tried to submit mine, but it just sent me to my Gmail. There was no link to where to upload to submit it.
So in the email, okay, so I'm going to show you guys again. I showed this to Leah at the beginning, but I'm going to show you guys again where to find it on the site, right? It's always in the same place on the site. So if you log in, you'll be able to see it. And there, it's on the original site as well. But I will check with that. If you guys have an email that you had the wrong link in, please forward it to me so I can get
it. I'll forward it to you
for next time. But all of these have been, they're usually set up in advance and, you know, they're every month after month that there's cases and there's 600 and there's 60 something cases in there already, but none of them are new. So I'm going to show you on my screen. And if I go to, here we go. So if you log into your member site, I think I'm logged in. I was logged in. See where it says resources?
Yeah.
You scroll to where it says NEPT, where is it? Case study submission. You see that?
Yeah.
You click that. You have to log in first. You have to fill this form out. And on the last page, do I still have Leah's up here? I think I might. Yeah. So on the last, you'll fill out all this information, right? Information, next. Then you'll get to the last page, which looks like this, and you click add file. That way you can upload. It'll say my drive, upload, or you could click here if it's on your computer and you upload the file. Make sense? And then you say submit when it's done. And then I will get that. And it will show up in my little handy dandy, where is it? No, I had one open earlier. It'll show up in my thing here. Maybe it's this. Yeah, so it'll show up here for me, right? I've been signed out. Why do I keep getting signed out? Okay, so, and I'll show, it'll show for me here. And then I look at these, it says 63 responses, which is what it said last month. And then I can actually see the individuals. And if you've submitted it, I can scroll through these and I'll actually see your case. See? And then we'll go through it together on one of these calls. Okay. Is that clear? So, but if the link was not in the email, I mean, we do that as a courtesy. We give you the link so you know, you can just click it. You don't have to log in, but it's always there. If you don't, you always can go to resources, case study submission. And Maria, where you were wanting to look at, if you look at case study calls, where is it? There's too much stuff here. Supplements, Shine. NEPT case study archives. And you click that and it goes from 2019 and 2020 to all the way down to 2016. Where are the newest ones? Okay, maybe it's under here. Recordings, NEPT case studies. Okay, so the archives before 2019 and then starting in 2020, they're here. So there you go. So if you were just click any of these, let's just say there was one in January. Why is there two for each one? You can see what we did and you can start to play it.
So welcome to our case study.
This was 2 hours long. You can scroll through. There's your, I think this was yours, Maria, where we did your
lesson. Ready? Have a good.
All right. But these are there.
Thing is, you know, to me is like when I saw those things is
okay. So you can go through these and there's years of them. So if ever you want to learn a lot, if you have a free weekend and it's raining and you don't have anything else to do, just go through and pick a few of these case study archives. You're going to learn a tremendous amount from every single one of them. Does that make sense? Is everybody clear on that? Because I'm going to just say, I went through this because it was a few cases and it was a real serious case that Emanuela had. But for the most part, if you're just throwing out like an oat test, there's no way I could do an oat test without having it in front of me. There's just no way, right? If you said to me, oh, the oxalates are up off the chart, you'd have to tell me what the numbers are. But when you look at an oat test, it's not just like this is out of range or that's out of range. You're looking at interactions. You're looking at ratios and what all the relationships are between the parameters. I'm not smart enough to do it without seeing it. I'm just going to admit that. I know you guys think highly of me, but I am not smart enough to do an oat. I did a doctor's data stool test once when we were on the phone and I lost internet and I was able to do that, but I've done like literally hundreds of them and they're not as complicated as organic acids. Okay. So if you want to upload that, Karima, we can go through it on the next call.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. So if ever you get an email and the link doesn't work, you know where to find it on the site now. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. Usually they're in there because I get them every month and this month I didn't. So I should have known that maybe there was an error in there.
Well, the other thing that came up for me too was when I clicked on the call, it said it was case study call today. I clicked on it. It didn't show the time zone. It just said 2 to 3 p.m. So I just assumed central time 2 to 3 p.m., but I guess it was Eastern.
Where
so.
Did you click that?
Sorry, I'm late.
2 to 3.
It's in the email. It says NEPT case study call today. And then you click here to access your call details. And it just says April 6th, 2 to 3:30 p.m. That's all. Doesn't say the time zone.
Do you have a click where you link to get the details?
Yeah, I'll send you the link.
Because that's
it didn't have the time zone today.
Yep.
Yeah. Can I want to see that page? So
I just sent it to you, the link in the chat.
In the chat. Okay.
I should have emailed help desk about it as well. That's so you would be happy to know.
Whenever you get something like that. If we come to our calls together, I want to focus on clinical stuff. I don't want to focus on admin and details like that. So if ever there's an error in an email and you want to submit something, please let them know right away. Like say, help desk, hey, here's what I need. They need to know that because they get all bent out of shape when I come off a call like this with a list of 5 things that they need to work on. They're like, why didn't they write to help desk? Okay, so I go to add event and it says, okay, so then you click here. and it takes you to Zoom. Never mind. That's not right. That should have the time zone. Yeah, see this link right here, INE case study submission form?
Is that that's what sent me to Gmail.
Let me see. Yeah, it's not Gmail, it's this case study submission form.
Oh yeah, it didn't work like that for me. So maybe I don't know, that's odd. It just sent me to my Gmail. It's like, which Gmail do you want to sign in for? And I'm like, what?
Yeah, this should not say it this way, because how is anybody supposed to, I'm gonna do another screenshot. Yeah, if ever stuff like this happens, please let them know.
Yeah, I usually do. And it usually takes them, you know, a half day or a day to respond. So I did let somebody know again.
Okay.
But that's why I'm late. So sorry, I didn't mean to take it down a rat hole.
Oops. Usually they do them in Eastern time. That's what they changed it to be consistent. And then you said this link didn't work for you. Did anybody else have that? Well, nobody else seemed to try. Copy, close preview. I'm gonna put it in both places, make sure they see it. All right, I'll put it in there later. All right, yeah. Did anybody else try clicking that? Can somebody else please do me a favor and click that link that Julie just put in there? It'll load on your, if you do add to calendar, that's the other thing to do. If you add to calendar, it'll add it in your time zone. It'll always add it in your time zones. Priscilla, are you in?
It worked for me, and I got the reminder email. And that's how it worked. The reminder email.
Yeah, and a reminder email, the case study link worked?
Uh-huh, and the one Julie just did, it was the same that I got by email.
Dr. Rita, this is Priscilla. I clicked on the link and it took me to Central Standard Time 2 to 3. And that's how it added it to my calendar. So that's why I'm just now showing up. So I apologize for that.
Oh, it did add to the calendar wrong.
Yes.
Okay. And what time zone are you in?
In Central Standard Time. So it did, the other ones I've had to adjust from Eastern.
Okay.
Yeah, the other ones have had to adjust from Eastern to Central, and then it'll adjust to the earlier time. But this one, it just loaded as Central Standard Time, 2:30.
Okay. So. Let me see. See if I put this in here. Tasha and Francis. Okay. And did somebody just click on, so Martha, you said you clicked on the link in the email and it worked. So somebody else check it out. Let's just see. If you click on the link that Julie just posted and then you click on add to calendar, where is that? Isn't there an add to calendar here? There's usually an add to calendar here.
Huh. I didn't see one. So I don't know if someone else did. I didn't get one in when I opened up that link.
Interesting.
I usually have to manually add them, which is why I got confused on the time zone. I thought, is it Central? Is it Eastern? Now I know they're all Eastern. So
they're supposed to be, but it looks like it was wrong for Priscilla. So I'm not sure.
And my notification did have the case study uploader link.
Your notification what, Martha?
Had the caseloader link.
It had the link in your notification.
But it didn't for the calendar this time.
But this one should have, where's the add to calendar? Because this is add event. This should have an add to calendar link.
I don't know. I go through the beginning of the month and write everything down, hoping that nothing gets changed.
Yeah. Well, if it does, you'll get the email that day and say, whoops. But we're supposed to. I've asked them over and over again to please, 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 if there's a change, to send an email out. Like, occasionally we have to change. And if we do, they should send you an email. They should not have to, you know, have you wait till the day, right? So just saying, it's hard. It's easy when you have people to help you with stuff. It's hard when you have people to help you with stuff.
That's so true.
Damned if you do and damned if you don't.
I know. It's like, I don't want to do all this myself, but on the other hand, I want it done right. So we'll make sure that it, you know, it's too many hands on things. It needs to be one person following it all the way through. Anyway, I'm so sorry. How else can I support you today? Yeah, Karen.
Hi.
Hi.
So I had purchased a thyroid panel from Dr. Alan Hopkins. Mm-hmm. So I got my results. So if we can go over those and I can get some nice news about my numbers.
Right. Do you have it?
Do you want me to like share the screen or something?
It would help for everybody else. I have thyroid, I have memorized, but most
let
people
me don't.
So if you share your screen, that would be helpful. And then we'll ask you questions about what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, let me, I have to pull it up. So if someone else has a question, okay. I don't want to.
Leah had a question. Cause
I'm away from people
over her because we got.
Yeah. Let me pull it up.
Okay. Go ahead, Leah.
Oh no, I'll let Karen go because this is a case. Well,
She needs a few
minutes. Oh, okay.
Because she has to find her thyroid numbers.
Well, this is just a general question anyway. So maybe it'll just be a good one for filling in the time. When we do, you know, we talk about helping digestion and people, well, there'll be recommendations. Take digestive enzymes, take HCL. Of course, not when you have H. pylori. Take digestive bitters, take ox bile. Take sunflower lecithin. When do you know what to pick and when? Like, that's a lot of stuff there. It's not like somebody's going to.
Nobody should take all that stuff. That's just right. Like a general, that's called a protocol. That's not a personalized protocol, right? So it's really when you go through the digestive module, we go through step by step. Okay, what do you do first? And we like to start with the head. What's out of balance? Are they resting and relaxing before they eat, right? Are they getting into parasympathetic state before they eat? Are they chewing their food? And then once they swallow it. So those are the things we start with. You don't have to have access to the full digestive program right now because you have access to empowered self-care. So if you go through that, that will give you from a client perspective, the steps that I would take people through. So if you go to the thyroid, the digestive module in there, the digestive unit, grand gut repair, then go through that. And that's how you know. And so if they're eating mostly, they're chewing and they're doing all this stuff, you just want to go by the symptoms. So we have the questionnaires and those are all in there. You take those questionnaires. Those are also in module 3 of the NEPT program. And you go through and you go, wow, look at the score on this particular part of the digestive tract is way out of whack. Okay, so maybe they need digestive enzymes, right? Most people do end up needing digestive enzymes. I never put people on HCL unless I absolutely know they're low. That's something, and especially you mentioned H. pylori, it's a biggie, right? If they've ever had an ulcer before, if they've ever had gastritis before, unless I know that their digestive tract is healed. So before I'd ever put anybody on HCL, I want to make sure that their mucosal lining is restored. Right. And most people don't need it because we talk about this in another call recently. I think someone asked, what do? Do you give the higher level stuff or you give the lower level stuff? So it depends, right? If I want to give the precursors and everything somebody needs to make HCl, then I help them to make it. But if there's something broken in their mechanism and they don't make it, then we give them HCl. Same thing with hormones, right? Do I want to give somebody melatonin? There's a lot of contraindications to that. Do I want to give them 5-HTP and B6 and help them to make serotonin from that and then melatonin? And if they don't do that appropriately, then I want to look at what's the pathway between serotonin and melatonin. Maybe they're low in copper or vitamin E or something that's required there. So the same thing with the digestive tract, right? Chewing food is the thing that most people forget about, right? Right? They're gulping and they're moving on the run. And then they wonder why they have stomach pain every time they eat or why they end up with SIBO. Right? SIBO is a biggie when you're in sympathetic state all the time because the migrating motor complex doesn't work. The migrating motor complex is important. You have to be in a parasympathetic state for that to work. You also have to have spacing between meals for that to work and people who are grazing all day. So always I would start with the comprehensive history and take them through some of those scorecard assessments and see where it's broken down. Yeah, all of that stuff all at once. Then they walk out the door. They go, oh, I can't deal with this. Just give me the Tums, right? Just give me the Tums and the Maalox and I'll just take symptomatic stuff because I can't deal with this. So you just work with them on one at a time, working, identifying and fixing. And that's what I do in that program. So you're welcome to look at that and take somebody through it. Okay.
I got a question.
Yes.
What do you think that could be if a person has sleep problems and actually takes magnesium and actually becomes very agitated? The magnesium actually gives the neck or the opposite of side effect that we normally see.
We expect, yeah. That's called a paradoxical reaction.
I've never, heard of that. So what could that be? That should I investigate?
I would say it's hard to say because there's people like think about valerian root, right? It's like a really potent sedative kind of herb, but for some people it does the opposite. Caffeine, it's very stimulating. I know people who would take caffeine before bed to go to sleep, right? And so we can't always get at what that is. Why are they having a paradoxical reaction? I don't know if they don't need magnesium, if it's an excessive. I've never heard of excessive magnesium causing anything but loose stools, right? Mm-hmm. Loosening everything really well. So I don't know if some of those things I ever can figure out a reason without like really intense looking at their biochemistry. I would say it's an indication that they shouldn't take it.
absolutely. I just never heard about it because, what I've known is what you just said. And I'm like, I had no words for that. And it says, okay, don't.
I know. It. And there's some people who it's just like the lady who was taking, she was drinking a cup of coffee to help her sleep. Can you imagine somebody taking a cup of coffee to go to sleep?
Yeah. Right. Their enzymes are different than it's most
something
people.
Different and that has to do with perhaps it has to do with I don't know. I was trying to figure that one out and I sat there looking at biochemical pathways. So if you figure it out, you may have to look at biochemical pathways and try to see if there's something else that's whacked out that's causing it.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. So Karen, you have it. Okay,
yeah, let me just share screen and see what happens.
Okay, go for it. So it was a complete panel, Karen?
Well, not so much. Didn't have reverse T3, but
we never run reverse T3 unless it's indicated because it's very expensive. Okay. Usually, the more you look at labs, the more you can guess at what the reverse T3 is based on the T3 to 4 to T3 conversions. I only run it I've only run it a few times, literally a handful of times.
Okay.
Right. And it's like it's super expensive.
So a couple of years ago, I had gotten...
it's like you're stuck. It's not opening.
Oh, no, that's all that it is.
Well, no, we're just seeing Is anybody seeing a lab, or I'm just seeing this?
It says you are share. You are screen sharing.
Yeah, you need to click it. You need to double click it.
Yeah, double click the Chiron thyroid lab test, because what we're seeing is just your index.
Oh no, let's see.
You can see your whole files. You're sharing your whole file.
I don't know. Let's see, record. I don't know. It says stop share, and it says you are screen sharing.
And then start again.
Oh, stop and start again. Okay.
Okay, start it again. What we were seeing was your list of files.
Oh, okay. Let's try this.
Open the file first and then share.
Yeah, that would be a good thing.
Oh, can you see it now?
Black. No? Yep. Yes.
Okay, there we go. But what I was saying was I had gotten a book from Susie Cohen, the Thyroid Healthy book. So she has some of the functional ranges. So that's what I was going off of her functional ranges for the thyroid. So
your T3 is a little low. Your T4 is okay. It's at the lower end of the range, but it's okay. Of the optimal range I'm looking at, right? You're in the ranges for this lab. Surprisingly, yeah, it's Quest. So 1.1. Here's a thing. If you go into the Empowered Self-Care and you go to the thyroid module, there should be, pretty sure there's a link to the thyroid scale diagrammer. Have you guys seen that? I can show you what it looks like after we look at this.
Isn't it in the master tracker?
It's in the master. Yeah, you guys have access to the master tracker. So it's in the master tracker right after. Thank you, Martha. Right after where it says lab results. I'll show it to you in a minute so you can look at it. But the T4 is at the low end of the range. The T3 is out of the optimal range, right? So it should be about 3 or higher. So the conversion, we want to look at that. TPO is less than 1. No, TPO is 2 and thyroglobulin is less than 1. So the antibodies look fine. And that's all they did.
Well, and then my TSH was 2.13.
Yeah, the TSH is fine. So I think mainly what you're seeing here is just a conversion issue. It's a conversion issue. So what's involved in the conversion? Well, you need to have good adrenal function. So too high or too low cortisol will cause that to not be okay. It can be selenium. Selenium is the big nutrient for that. So looking at your selenium status and maybe adding selenium or Brazil nuts or something like that to your diet. But then you have to look at, is there a reason that the thyroid, that there's not converting? Because T3 is your gas pedal, right? Is there something your body's trying to protect yourself against using all of that energy to pump you up if there's an infection? So sometimes it could be a chronic infection somewhere, right?
Well, I was never, because, you know, my conventional primary medical doctor never did anything to diagnose me with any hypothyroidism or anything.
Oh, he would never, nobody would ever diagnose you with hypothyroidism from here.
Right. So the doctor that I'm working with now, he's a naturopath, and he asked me to get this lab done because minimally he can, you know, assess it or not. I didn't have that appointment with him yet, but this is what I have. Yeah,
so I would be also looking at, I like total T4, and this is where I have arguments with my colleagues about all the time. Well, why do you need total T4? You just need the free. Why? Because the total T4 is everything the thyroid's making. The free T4 is just a small fraction of that. And you have to be able to extrapolate it from the protein, the thyroglobulin, right? And so when we see how much you're making versus how much is free. So for example, if you have if your free total T4 was 12, which is at the high end of the optimal range, but your free T4 is at the low end, to me, that says you might have too much of the thyroglobulin protein binding it. And sometimes that's excess estrogen. Okay.
Right. So I did have my saliva hormone panel, and my cortisol was completely crashed. It was so low. And then, I've not recovered from that yet. I mean, I've heard people say that it takes anywhere from a year to 18 months to really kind of, you know,
It could. It depends on how vigorous you are. Like, are you going to bed and, you know, relaxing? Or are you continuing to lead your busy lifestyle? Are you taking adaptogens? Are you addressing vitamin C and pantothenic acid and magnesium and all these other things? So yeah, it could. It could take a long time, especially if you're still in the fire, right? If you're still sitting in the fire, it's kind of hard to put the fire out under your butt.
Well, and then, you know, I just had my my organics done from Genova and then my blood spot fatty acid. So I think I showed my blood spot fatty acid maybe a couple of weeks ago. So there was, you know, my arachidonic acid was through the roof. So I've made some dietary changes, but it's only been a few weeks so far. So,
right.
You know, yeah. So I'm,
yeah. So you're in an inflammatory state.
Yeah.
You're T3, your active fuel to your cells is low, and it could be because of your adrenals are shot, right? So I would be working on the adrenal part of this. But the other thing that people don't realize, so in the T4 to T3 conversion, that doesn't, very little of it, if any, happens in your thyroid itself. So 75% of that actually happens in your liver. You know, so, or 50%, I think it's 50% happens in your liver, 25% happens in your gut, and then 25% is where everything else. So you want to look at your liver and your gut for that. Like, is your liver stressed? Is your gut, you know, needing a repair?
Yeah. I had my GI map done and it's not good. So, I mean,
yeah.
So yes, for all the above,
this is going to take care of itself, right? This is going to take care of itself when you get those other things done.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. Okay.
So, but he minimally has enough information to possibly diagnose with hypothyroidism or Hashimoto's or not?
No, you have no Hashimoto's.
Okay.
You don't have hypothyroidism. You have a conversion issue. You have a T4 to T3 conversion issue.
Wow.
Okay. And you just need to optimize it. Go into the Empowered Self-Care, go to the thyroid module, the last piece of that part 5. And I think it's even step 5. I've referred people to this so much, is a little booklet called the Thyroid Balancing Step-by-Step, something like that.
Oh.
And it'll talk about the conversion issue and the things that you should be looking at. I always recommend that when people have something going on with the thyroid, and especially if you are having low energy and any other symptoms, is that you assume you have a receptor resistance. Just assume it, because you can't test for it, right? You have to look at vitamin A, you have to look at homocysteine levels, you have to look at the adrenals again, right? And work on all of that. So I would get that booklet downloaded. It's only about 30 pages. It's very good summaries. It's got great charts in it, and that can help you a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe this is going to come off wrong, but sometimes I get scared when I hear information from you because, you know, I think it was last year where I first heard you talk about that not only is your insulin receptors could have issues with sensitivity, but all the receptors for all your hormones. And I was like, oh no. And I'm just like, I just get overwhelmed because I know I have a lot of work to do. So I guess I do get scared.
By step, right? This is great that you feel this way. You know why?
Well, it's not really. I go into a depression every time I get some lab results back. So it's scary.
It's okay. So there's nothing here to be scared about, Karen. I'm just telling you, you have some functional imbalances. You don't have any diseases, right? You have some functional imbalances. The reason I said this is good is because you're going to relate to your clients when they're feeling overwhelmed. You go, oh, all you have to do is this and this and this and this. And they're like, ugh, right? So sit with that. Stress, right? Cortisol, right? That's a biggie. You're hypersensitive right now about this. There's nothing here to be scared about. It's all easily correctable functional stuff. Okay. There's no sign of Hashimoto's. None. I thyroid antibodies at 2, thyroid peroxidase. I don't think I've ever seen them lower than that. Okay. Less than 1 is the lowest you can go on thyroglobulin, but I would work on the stress levels and I'd work on your gut and supporting your liver. And where does that all start? Well, and blood sugar, right? Cause we just said, so you get your blood sugar under control. You can control that. That's stuff we can control. you do some, you know how to get stress out of the system, and you know you have a trauma pattern, right? And you have tools for that, right? So you start treating you as your patient right now, right? And you say, what would I say whenever you're getting freaked about a test result? What would I say to my client or patient if they had this? You're going to calm them down off the ledge. You're going to assure them that they're not going to die anytime soon. Someday they will, but no indication from this that they're going to die anytime. This is one of the best thyroid panels I've seen, quite frankly. Mostly I see people are really messed up, right? The only thing here is the T4 to T3 conversion. That's it. I don't know about your total T4, so I don't know if there's a possibility of excess estrogen. Are you on any birth control pills or anything like that? No. Yeah, so it might be phytoestrogens, it might be, you know, plastics, you know, all the crap we tell people to avoid. Just really take inventory of yourself, okay? Treat yourself like you're your patient, and you're not a challenging case patient, quite frankly, from this. Maybe the other tests I haven't seen.
Yeah, you didn't see my oat yet, so okay. I'll have to submit that for...
But it's submitted for a case study when you have all of them together, because that would help all of us. Right?
Yeah.
Everybody just fill out the case study form, submit like 4 or 5 tests, whatever you have, upload them, and we'll go through them. Yeah. You're not going to die anytime soon from based on looking at this. I think you're in good shape. It's functional, right? This is what we're here to help people with, those functional imbalances before they become disease, before we have somebody like Emanuela's case where there's something really seriously wrong. Okay. You can do this. And like I said, the reason I didn't mean to be insensitive to you, but
no, I don't think you were.
I said it's good is because you get to turn the tables around and you get to see how you can support people when they're freaking out. Okay. Yeah.
I do that all the time. You know, I mean, I have all my clients now are very, though they work, get themselves worked up, you know, and I just, part of the scariness comes from not having the understanding that you have. So like, you can look at it and you're like, oh, this is no big deal. I just am not that fluent yet. So
that's why you're here.
Yeah.
Right. That's why you're here. And I'm here to support it. We're all here to support you with that. And here's the other thing. And you know this better than anybody because of your history with the trauma work that you do is sympathetic overdrive is at the root of just about all diseases, right? And so people responding to their labs going into sympathetic overdrive is actually making it worse,
right?
Right. So I want you to trust this body, this inner healer, right? And go, okay, I can do this. I need to get my stress levels under control. Maybe you need to do more meditations or some of those cool things you talked to us about on the last call, like, you know, some of the little exercises you teach people who have had serious trauma, which you have, and you just need to work on that a little bit more, right? Is reversing that. And if you have genes, I haven't looked at your genes, you've looked at them. If you have some of those genes that predispose you to hypervigilance and, you know, some of the GADs, MAOs, COMTs, you know, then it's a nature thing that you have to, I have all that stuff and I have to calm myself down. You know, I have to like, be conscious all the time of calming myself down and not freaking out.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I have most of those SNPs, but I'll submit them. Can look at them all.
Submit all of that as a case, especially with the genes. Cause everybody will learn from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I did the, I have the, you know, Dr. Lynch one. Well, I have both of his, and then, I just did that true report, whatever that's from. And then I have the Dr. Sutton one too. So I have all.
Yeah. Yeah. I like looking at them all. I don't look like seriously through every SNP and every one, but there's certain places I like to go in each one.
Yeah.
So that I don't have to go fishing, you know, and jump into the raw data.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wish I would have taken my, you know, 23andMe a little earlier because
I'm glad I did.
Yeah,
I did. I took it like 6 years, 2014. So almost 7 years ago when they had everything in there, right?
Yeah, I think I just did mine last year. So I just wanted to, make sure I had it in time for, you know, Shine last June or something.
Right.
you know, so, all right.
It's a building process, right? It's like you didn't learn how to write beautiful penmanship the first day of second grade when they started teaching it. It was like, we got to build it. We got to build on it. You practice it. And that's the lab stuff is the same. No matter how many classes you take, you know, unless you're exposed, which is why I like to do the cases and share and share and share. And I learn things every time, right? I go, whoa, what does that extra phosphorus that person, what's going on? But I don't have enough of her case to really be able to dig into. But sometimes you're just going to sit there and dig into the biochemistry and try to understand it. And then you figure out some stuff like Maria saying about the excess, the magnesium causing symptoms of, you know, stress. It's like, okay, what is that? Now I'm curious. I want to pull out I have this big old map of biochemistry stuff, and it's old. It's going to fall apart. But, you know, I like to look at some of that stuff, and then I get overwhelmed. I go, okay, I haven't found it yet. You know? Yeah. You got this.
Dr. Marie, may I say something to Karen?
Absolutely. If it's okay with Karen. Yeah. Okay. Just don't curse at her.
Huh?
Just don't curse at her.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay. Hi, Karen. Okay. This is what I thought when I heard you speak and how your emotions came out. You know, sometimes we collect a lot of information. And seems like in the last maybe 2 years and even recently, you're collecting a lot. And I don't know your past, but seems like there is trauma behind it. And it seems like you like to have control of things. Mm-hmm. So when we have a lot and we don't know enough, these things actually will cause a stress. And the stress is what's causing most of the problems in here, right? So my suggestion is sometimes, Karen, we have to put everything aside and we got to pick on one or two things that you know you have control or the basic. And you know, if you look into, for example, your nutrition, like Dr. Marie mentioned about blood sugar, if that's part of your imbalances and you say, you know what, let me look into the things that I eat normally, that could be something I can improve. Pick that one thing. Pick right. that one thing and work on that thing. And then on the stress, because the stress seems like something that, you know, all of us, I think, have to work forever on it. So I said, okay, what can I do today? If I'm very, very stressful day, maybe I can go to the bathroom, whatever, go outside for 3 minutes, put a little meditation video and breathe. And that's one thing I would highly recommend you focus on, taking very tiny little steps on the very basic five, yep. you know, pillars and right. control. And you know what? Forget about your 23 right now. Forget about this and that and that and that. You know, you are doing your best, but focus on one or two things. And it's slow, but if you focus heavily on it, you're going to get results. And then you knock one out, you go to the next one. You now you feel accomplished and in control again. So I just want to share that. Thank because you. I felt your emotion come through.
It's a good reminder. And if you're going to go pick on one thing, start at the base of the pyramid that I put, and then move up. Because what I find is like the thyroid information, yeah, it's good. It's like, okay, but there's some stuff to work on. It's pointing you down the pyramid. It's pointing you down to stress, which is in the pillar, the bases. And then it's pointing you to the gut, right? And probably blood sugar because, you know, yeah. So just start with those basics. And even if you had no tests and you started with those basics and you just worked your way up, like people who don't have the money to get tests or the ability to get tests, you start with the pillars. You start with the moving up and moving up and moving up.
Right. I just, for me, I'm an external verbal processor. So, you know, there's not always that person to externally verbally process things. So, you know, that's a challenge that I have, you know.
When you say that you're an external, externally verbal, what is the need there? Is the need to express it verbally or to have it be heard verbally?
I think both, because like, I know for me, like, I can't just think about things. It needs to like come out somehow.
Get on a video and make a video.
Yeah.
So I just got my lab. I'm looking at this. I'm like, oh, what does this mean? And this might mean this, and this might be, and what I learned about this, just like blah, nobody has to ever hear it. Just process out loud. If you were to see me like washing the dishes or, you know, doing stuff around the house, you'll hear me talking to myself. I'm like, huh, that pathway. And then it goes here and I'm pointing and I'm talking because that's how I process things. And I have a hard time with just hearing things. I need to speak it and I need to see it. And so I've got a couple of those pathways embedded in my brain and I just can go and talk it out loud. So that might help you.
Yeah.
And then if you want to share it with somebody.
And the other thing too, for some reason I wasn't very good at assessing a client's like emotional abuse towards me for months and months. So they're no longer on my case list, but never had a client be so abusive before. And so, and I mean, I've been doing therapy since 2005. So that was kind of extreme. And I've worked inpatient before. People were nicer. I don't know what. So yeah.
Well, good thing you recognized it and got them off your caseload.
Oh yeah.
Put ourselves in those positions.
Yeah.
And that's going to trigger some of your old stuff, which is going to make you more hypersensitive to little stressors that normally may not affect you.
Right. And that was what was happening. And I'm like, it took me a little while to notice it. And then
good. Good. Yeah. So it's good. You're processing that right now in terms of why did this little T4 to T3 conversion issue set you off? I'm like, honey, this is one of the best things, best thyroids I've seen. Why? But that little thing, right? You stub your toe and then you break down, right? That's happens to people. Right. All the time. Yeah. Good job. Right. Thank you, Maria, for stepping in. And I love, this is a community and we're here to support each other. So. And we made it to the end of the call without having an official case, but we got a lot out of this, don't you think? Yes. Yeah. Awesome. So thank you guys for being here. I look forward to being on with you on the next calls. I think I'm going to have, I think it's either next week or the week after. I think I've got Annette and Lisa filling in for me because I have recovery from Shine. Yes, on the 20th, the office hours, the INE office hours, Annette and Lisa will be covering for me so I can recover from Shine. And I have a lot of follow-up. And then we moved the, what is the other one? She was supposed to move it to this next week. Where did it go? There was an NEPT content call, which I'd asked her, she looks like she took it off the calendar, but I don't see that it's put back on. It should be sometime, I think it's supposed to be the 27th, but I'll ask Sienna what happened to it. But it looks like it's still here, content implementation. I gotta go remind her again. So it's supposed to be at 5:30 on Tuesday the 20th, which is the same day as an INE office hours call. So we don't need to have two calls on the same day. So I'm gonna have her move that until probably the 27th. So. I'll make sure that happens right away before you guys get to.
Dr. Rita Marie, when's the next case study call?
They're always the first week of the month. So let me see. It looks
first week. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I had a case for today, but it looks like we didn't have time for it and I wasn't able to upload it. So I'll do that for
next time. Yeah. Yeah. We really need to. I made an exception today because we didn't have any, but if you want your case done, you really have to upload it. Cause what I want these to be really showcasing how we step by step through the history, through the labs, through the questions. And if you submit it using that case study uploader, then we can go through it and we can all learn a lot. And usually I only do 2 to 3 cases on a call, depending on, how complicated they are. So, and that way we get to really step through them. Okay.
Okay.
Great. I submit. Hello.
Yes.
I submitted mine, but I don't know if you got it or.
No. Nope.
Because this.
No, I showed earlier that it was not. So the last one that was submitted was the 21st. How did you submit it?
Just like the way you asked me to follow those steps.
And when did you do that?
Right now. So
No. Okay. Yeah, no, I can't do it that way. Okay.
If you did receive it,
Let me look. Yeah. You have to do it. I need them. 24 to 48. Cause then I pull them up and I can make sure I'm ready.
I didn't mean that, but you got it or you didn't get it.
Good. I'm glad you said that. Sorry. I didn't mean to jump. Yeah. It's Nadia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I got it. We'll do that next time. You'll be first one next time.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And yeah, do them in advance. If you have cases already, don't wait till May 4th. You know, do them in advance because it's first come, yeah, first served. And I can do 2 to 3 usually on a call.
Great. At least I tried it by myself. Usually I need help to get this thing done. Now I know.
Now you know how to do it. Yay.
And yeah.
I'll, you know, write to the help desk. Hopefully they'll figure out why that link, that, because the link worked for everybody else. So I don't know what the situation might be for you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Have a great rest of the day. We'll see you soon.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
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 Happy birthday, Sharon, too.
Aw, thank you.
The flowers are beautiful.
Aren't they lovely? That was from Scott.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, thank
happy
you.
Birthday. Yeah.
It's so nice. It's like a birthday week because people keep sending me messages. So it's exciting. So I'm going to go off for a run. We're having beautiful weather today, and get outside and get some sunshine and vitamin D.
We're
almost 80 in Michigan too. Have a good one.
Oh, bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.